Case 12-5297, Kenneth Hasselwander, Appellant v. John M. McHugh, Secretary of the Army. Mr. Eisenberg for the appellant and Mr. Lawrence for the appellee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. Your Honors, if so please the Court. In this matter, the Board of Corrections has failed in its duties to provide justice and equity to my client. Its decision was arbitrary and capricious, if I may. The Board's powers are remedial in nature and must be construed liberally. When the Board fails to correct an injustice that's clearly before it, its decision is by nature arbitrary and capricious. The government would have you believe that because he didn't say I wanted my medical records correct, I just wanted a Purple Heart. That's putting the proverbial cart before the horse.
But you concede, don't you, that unless the records are amended, he's not entitled to a Purple Heart, right? On the records that exist right now,
yes.
Right?
But
okay, so where did you make the argument that they should amend their records?
We've always argued that he's entitled to a Purple Heart.
But you recognize he's not entitled to a Purple Heart based on the current records, right? And so your argument has to be
amend
the records.
Yes.
Now, once we amend the records, he gets the Purple Heart. What I want to know is where did you make the argument that they must amend the records?
His opening shot says that. He cites a different form, corrected to reflect that I received the Purple Heart. Isn't your whole argument, he didn't state the precise medical record.
Correct.
But I thought your argument was going to be you don't have to cite the precise medical record. He's giving the board notice that I know I need to have my records corrected.
Correct.
So that I can get the Purple Heart.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's implicit. I think explicit in his whole argument is,
yes,
I know my records don't reflect what I need, and his starting complaint in JA-76, I need the record corrected.
Correct. And even if it wasn't.
Well, that's the question that Judge Griffin's asking you. Where does he request the correction?
And that was the answer I was hoping to get.
Yeah, that's what he asked.
I was trying to help you, Counsel.
I appreciate
that's what we call a softball.
Forgive me. If I may, though, even if he hadn't explicitly.
Okay,
then he asked for the correction.
Because if he didn't, you're in trouble.
Forgive me, I'm not used to so many previews.
Look, is your argument other than this? Look, he asked for a correction, not as expertly as you may have wanted, because he didn't cite the medical form.
Yes,
he made it absolutely clear he understood he didn't have that information
yes,
in this form. It was missing, and you couldn't get a Purple Heart without it.
Yes.
So don't come back and tell me I can't get a Purple Heart because my medical record is deficient.
Yes.
I'm asking you to fix my record so I can get a Purple Heart.
Yes.
And all the board did was to address the second piece. You can't get a Purple Heart because your medical record doesn't show that you were injured. Hello, we knew that. That's why I asked for the correction. Fix my record. That's your argument, right?
Yes.
Why don't you sit down and let the governor run?
Great idea, sir. Thank you.
Do well, Mr. Lawrence. This rule looks like arbitrary and capricious to me, just so you know where I stand. We've been together a lot of years.
I had that sense, Your Honor, Judge Edwards. Let me say at the outset, I'm Assistant U.S. Attorney Craig Lawrence. I'm appearing here in lieu of Major Gowell, who briefed this case and has been transferred, unfortunately, and unable to make it back to make the argument. So at the outset, he did make a request that his records be corrected to reflect receipt of the Purple Heart. And even if you grant that that was sufficient to address initially the medical records aspect of it, certainly when the board explained in its initial decision, the problem was the specific regulatory requirement for treatment and an official record of the treatment. In his request for reconsideration, he made no statement.
He gave you the evidence of how the accident occurred. Of course, the record doesn't reflect the medical treatment. That's what he wants corrected.
Well, he doesn't explain the nature of the treatment. The question is, on the basis of this record, whether the treatment...
The board doesn't say the nature of the treatment is... I'm looking at their decision. Well, that is not what they say.
What they say is that there's no medical record.
Yes, there's no question about that.
And we know that he was taken to the dispensary based on this record. We don't know exactly what happened to him at the dispensary except that
he has two people who were there, and they all got bombed by whatever came bombing into they were. And they went to the hospital, and they are asserting by affidavit that this is what happened. He asserts it. This is about justice and fairness. The board is supposed to exercise justice and fairness. And they have a news report that indicates that a couple of guys were indeed hurt. So you have the Army's official paper. It doesn't say the names, but they have two other people saying, this guy was one of them. He's asserting I was one of them. And the board's going to ignore that and say that's not sufficient?
First of all, Judge Edwards, it was not a hospital. It was a dispensary. Second of all,
But doesn't mean you're not hurt if you're in a dispensary.
I understand that, but we don't know the nature of the injuries. We do know that the one individual who the... reports that we have in the record reflect.
Where does the board say all we need is the nature of the injuries? I'm looking at the decision.
What it says is we need to have, it says that the evidence is insufficient to show that he was treated for a wound.
Photographs show the applicant's wounds bandaged are insufficient by themselves as a basis for the award. Well, he had letters from people saying he had his own assertion, and they're not suggesting he's incredible or lying. He had assertions from two buddies who went through the same thing, who confirmed what he was saying. They're not rejecting those statements as incredible. All they're saying is the photographs alone are not enough. Okay, maybe not. But that's not all he submitted.
Well, what we know on this record from the evidence and the letters and his own statement is that the rocket exploded near the hooch, blew people out of bed, that he got up, and we know that he was able to get up and run to a bunker. The medics came around and picked up individuals and took them to the dispensary. We don't know how long he was at the dispensary. We know that as soon as dog...
What are the bandages about? Got bandages on his face, his hand?
We don't know. All we know is that he has bandages. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably...
As you read the board's decision, did they reach a conclusion on either of the first two prongs, and in particular on the second prong, or was the... it is just enough to say no evidence of a medical record, and therefore that's fatal?
It's clear, I believe. We've got two places to look. The initial record, I guess it's page 69 and 70. And 68, the regulatory requirements explained on 68, and the explanation on... and.
Are you in the Joint Appendix?
Yeah, in Joint Appendix 68, the explanation of the Army regulation, explanation of one form that didn't show, his form 20 didn't show wounds. Then we get to the discussion and conclusions, and while they award, obviously...
Just reading what the board found,
as
opposed to the underlying evidence, because I think we owe deference to the board, and... do you read it to have reached a conclusion as to whether he received medical treatment or simply to have said the failure here, and we don't have to really go further, is that there's no medical record?
Well,
it's clearly susceptible of that reading.
Judge Pillard, I believe it is both, but I mean, we've got two places to look. One is the initial decision at JA 69. Unfortunately, there's no available evidence of record to show that the applicant was treated for a wound sustained as a result of enemy action, no basis for award.
Let me fill those gaps.
Wait a second. So, So which paragraph are you on page 60, on 69?
On 69.
Right. Oh, I see. It's right. There's yes, no available evidence record to show that the applicant was treated for a wound that was sustained as a result of enemy action. And then there was a reconsideration.
Yes, that's at Joint Appendix 44, the final discussion and conclusions. But I would note that despite the advice in the original decision by the board with regard to the records, he makes no request to the board on reconsideration. He makes no statement to the board.
Right. So that's a separate argument. That's your waiver argument, right? But just in terms of, I'm just trying to understand what's been found and what's been left because it wasn't necessary to find it. Because it says the letters of support submitted, this is under 2 on page 44, the letters of support submitted with this request for reconsideration clearly state that the applicant was wounded in action. The photographs that reportedly show the applicant's wounds are bandaged are insufficient by themselves as a basis for award of the Purple Heart. There is no available medical record to corroborate the photographs. I read that to say failure here is lack of medical record, and I wonder if you have any different reading.
That I think it is the primary absence is the record, and the secondary record is essentially the nature of the treatment. And I was trying to...
Because when you look forward, I don't mean to interrupt your thought, but when you look forward at paragraph numbered 4, it just seems to recite kind of boilerplate. Unfortunately, the available evidence is not sufficiently substantiated to show that the applicant was wounded as a result of hostile action, that he received medical treatment for any such wound, and that such medical treatment was made a matter of official record. Now, clearly, you know, there was evidence to show that he was wounded. And so to the extent that that's a finding in this case, it's wrong. But I don't read that as a finding in this case. I read that to say, here's the legal requirement, and in some way it hasn't been met. And then you look to the preceding for the more specific elaboration. Is that correct, or do you have a different
reading?
I think
that's a fair assessment. They assess in, what is it, paragraph 3, on page 44 of the joint appendix, the photographs reportedly show the applicant's wounds bandaged are insufficient by themselves. There's no available medical record to corroborate the photographs. We have the buddy letters, as they are sometimes called in the joint appendix, that were part of the record. None of them report on what happened.
But if he is seeking a correction,
yes.
This makes no sense. If he's seeking to have his records corrected so that this is put in, he acknowledges this was not put in his medical records. It was for his buddy. They didn't do it for him for whatever reason. And that's the way I read his request. I know you're claiming a waiver, which I find, given what the board is supposed to do here, that is pursue justice and fairness for our veterans. That's a bizarre argument to me. But if it's not waived and he's seeking a correction, it's kind of a name to say there's no available medical record. He knows that. He wants the medical record. That's the correction he wants.
Well Judge Edwards, I mean, the one of the aspects of overall fairness here, if you look at his first application, the board noted that there's a 3-year statute of limitations, but 37 years later, we'll accept him. They went through his records and what they had. They awarded several citations based on those records. They noted the absence of a very specific requirement, which is the Army regulation and the failure to satisfy the elements of the Army regulation. On the basis of this record, it's explained and the absence is clear. Now, he comes back and requests...
That is not... Judge Pillard just showed you on page 44, that's not the basis for the denial of reconsideration. What the things you just said, we've been good guys and good women, and so cut us a pass on our judgment on this one. He is, if he's asking for a medical correction to fix his record, I don't know how you can say we deny this because your medical record is deficient when he's asking to correct the medical record.
Judge Edwards,
it doesn't matter to me the board was nice 90% of the time.
Well, I mean, I was just commenting on the fairness and the approach of the board.
But this is patently unfair if he's asking for a correction of his medical record.
He did not. That's part of the problem here. He failed to articulate on reconsideration exactly what he was.
You want to hang it on the waiver argument? I read the original request to clearly embrace that under case law, which says the board is on notice. He's got to be asking for that.
That's where we part company. It is what the board has before it and has to know here, because he presents evidence, but nothing that goes to the treatment at the dispensary and the nature and exactly what happened.
Wait a minute. On page 43 in their own reconsideration decision, up at the carryover paragraph that's numbered 3, medics took him to the camp dispensary. This is just reciting the evidence.
Yes.
Medics took him to the camp dispensary where he received medical treatment to remove shrapnel, clean, and bandage his wounds. And there's no evidence of record showing that he'd received his wounds or they'd undergone medical treatment because of the record issue. But let me ask a slightly different question. It's basically a question about claim preclusion. If we were to affirm, would Hasselwander be precluded from requesting anew that his medical record be created?
No.
He would not.
He would not.
He could turn around and go to the board tomorrow.
Yes.
And I guess they could still say, 3 years too late. But goes to the board and says, okay, let me be clear this time. What I really want is a medical record. And they could, there isn't a claim preclusion issue where this case would be final.
Not before the board.
Okay.
This would be a request for reconsideration.
So if we disagreed with you and we thought that argument was already made before the board, then
you'd remand it and
remanded him to do it. Because it's clear. I mean, it seems
Judge
to
Edwards,
me.
I think the nature of the remand would be at most to the board to refer the proceedings to explain. I don't know that the board.
As I read it, I'm looking at the page 44. The board thought they were deciding whether he gets the Purple Heart or not.
Right.
And that was one of the things they asked for. But the other thing was not asked for clearly, but I think it was there. Is no, we're asking for a change in the medical record. Now, as a result of that, I'll get it. But at the very least, there's a lot of imprecision here.
Unfortunately,
so why don't we just send it back to the board and have them clear it up?
Did the secretary present the waiver argument in the district court?
Your Honor, as a result of the complaint in district court, there was no request in the complaint for correction of medical records. If you look at Joint Appendix 8, the prayer for relief makes no request for correction of a medical record. Secretary moved for summary judgment.
But there wasn't a specifically waiver argument. You haven't claimed for the medical record. You only claimed the DD, whatever that number is, and therefore.
Yeah, the DD 214.
214, right.
That's correct. That's
okay.
That's essentially the discharge, reflection of discharge.
Okay. I would hope that we don't have to get into this, but I did have a question reading the Secretary's regulations. They're no longer published in the CFR, and there's some authority that you don't get APA review if the regulations aren't notice and comment regulations, and you probably have a lot more experience with that.
You don't get notice and comment on Army regulations. They're adopted by the Department of the Army. I think they go through DOD, the Department of Defense as well. I don't know whether they have to be specifically cleared or not, the regulatory requirement was clear from the very beginning. As part of the district court record, it's not in the joint appendix. There's a copy of the regulation that was in effect at the time of the events, and that's, I believe, it's record 11-2. It's number 2, and it's, I think, Army Regulation 675. I've forgotten that.
And that's the one that requires treatment by medical personnel?
Yeah. That one says medical officer.
The more recent one was, I think, a
2006 or 2008 regulation, and that says medical personnel.
I thought it was the other way around.
The
I thought the one that was in effect at the time of the events in this case was personnel. And the one...
I have it. I know that it was part of the... It's document 11-2 in the district court record, ECF 11-2, and it is AR 672-5-1, and let's see.
Can you just point us to where that
is
in our...
It is paragraph B, a wound for which the award is made must have required treatment by a medical officer, and records of medical treatment for wounds or injuries received in action as described above must have been made a matter of official record, and the date of the regulation is 20 June 1969. So that was what was in effect at the time that he was coming through and was ultimately...
There's no three-year statute of limitations for the Purple Heart.
Right.
But there is no three-year statute of limitations.
No, not on the award of the Purple Heart. He... but there is on applications to the correction board, and that's what they waived. They weren't. It was not. You can receive a Purple Heart at any point. There's no statute of limitations on the Purple Heart.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Lawrence.
We would ask that the decision be affirmed based in part on the generous standard of review to military correction boards, only against Caldera.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Eisenberg.
Your Honors, I'm a little hesitant to speak because based on my last presentation, I may not need to. But if I may, I do want to bring attention to a couple of issues.
Now, you're on rebuttal now, so you're just rebutting things
yes,
that Mr. Lawrence
yes,
said.
Yes,
no
yes.
New arguments.
I just going to rebut a couple of issues that my friendly opposing counsel brought up. I want to make clear that if opposing counsel was, and I'm sure he wasn't doing it deliberately or meanly, was in any way disparaging my client in the sense that he had these bandages on for no other reason but except for medical issues. Remember, this is the same board. At one hand, denied him his Purple Heart, but on the other hand, granted him sua sponte, good conduct medal, Vietnam Service Medal, and 3 Bronze Stars.
How do you explain that?
Because my client is beyond reproach. His integrity is there. He needs.
Maybe they thought this just wasn't the kind of injury that the Purple Heart goes to.
But it's an... I don't know how you can say that. I mean, how do you distinguish one type of injury from another? What, you know, he mentions...
I don't. They do.
Right. I don't think we can. They say, well, it's not severe enough. Well, nowhere in the regs does it say it has to be
do
severe.
Do they say it's not
they
severe enough?
They don't say that.
They say at one point... At
no,
one point,
you're looking at... The only thing we're looking at is that what their final judgment is a motion for reconsideration. It's not what they say. They don't give any explanation.
Do you think they decided...
Oh, I'm referring to counsel's briefs, not...
Love Mr. Lawrence, but he's not the record.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was referring to the counsel's argument. Not, I wasn't, forgive me.
Do you think they made that the board, either in the initial decision or in the reconsideration decision, made any determination other than the determination going to the existence or not of a medical record? In other words, did they make a determination on wound? Did they make a determination on medical treatment?
Did they make a determination on medical treatment?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I mean, they make a treatment. They did not make a determination in favor of it.
Did they make a determination against you on medical treatment?
It seems like they did, because the only thing they're really complaining about is the lack of a medical record.
Well,
it seems like they did not.
Yeah.
It seems like they did not. They said, we don't have corroboration in the form of a medical record, therefore, is that...
Right. Therefore, since we don't have a medical record, therefore you're denied. That part, I
think you and Mr. Lawrence agree on that, although I'm not 100%.
Right, but it was their duty to correct that medical record. And in the, you know, with regards to the request for reconsideration and the waiver of the issue of whether or not he brought it up to begin with, the request for reconsideration, well, the board's supposed to look at both the initial request and the request for reconsideration. They're supposed to look at the whole record. They're supposed to look at the whole military record of my client. Otherwise, why then would they give him 3 Bronze Stars, a good conduct medal, and also his Vietnam service medal, because they're supposed to look for any injustice in the record. That is their job, and they skipped the obvious one, the what he asked for. Are there any questions from the judges I can answer? Thank you, Your Honor. I ask that you overturn the lower court's decision and rule that the board's decision was arbitrary and capricious.
Thank you. The case is submitted.